Feliz Navidad. Frohe Weihnachten. And I'm persuaded, if I can do this right, Predike Kerstdagen.
Merry Christmas.
That's in Dutch. That's all Merry Christmas. Did I do it right, Doreen? Okay. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. So glad to have you with us this morning. I even wore my Christmas socks, just in case, and I'll show them to you if you want. So, Lord's blessings and peace be with you. Our text for this morning's message is from that wonderful first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear friends in Christ. Now, when you wake up on Christmas morning and you look in your stocking, there's a couple things you know are not going to be in that stocking. One of the things you know is that there's not going to be a car in there that you can drive away. Makes sense, right? You know, and by the size of the boxes under the tree, you pretty much know that what's going to be in there and what's not going to fit in there. You know, if it's a box this size, it's not going to be a tennis racket. If it's in a box this side, it's not going to be a set of golf clubs. Those are the things, you know. Even when you were a young child, you knew that certain things fit in certain size packages. You knew that you couldn't pour a whole gallon of milk into your regular 8-ounce glass. I mean, you knew these things. Basically, a thing can only hold what will fit inside of it. In other words, as the wisdom says, the finite is not capable of the infinite. You cannot put an infinite thing into a finite thing, into a finite body or container. We know these things. But it's interesting that we sometimes think of God in this way. That the finite cannot contain the infinite. I mean, we all so often think about God as if He were an infinite amount of cookies, and we rule out His being in packages that seem too small. The truth is, and we see this best, of course, here at Christmas, is that God is big enough to make Himself small. It's a paradox that we live with. He's big enough who can make Himself small. For the truly infinite, the one who is without any bounds at all, who actually was before space and time were, and who is through and above them, and who is to come, the infinite can be wherever He pleases it, wherever it pleases Him to be, and He can do what it pleases Him to do there. See, it's not only at Christmas, of course. He actually once put His glory in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant that was in the tabernacle of old. He put His presence, His infiniteness, over the mercy seat between the cherubim. Think about this. His name is above all names, but He gives it to us in human syllables. Yahweh, or Jesus. He puts it into our narrow ears, into our even narrower mouths, just as He made His presence to dwell in the dust and the clamor of old Jerusalem in that temple. But all of this, of course, is perfected at Christmas time. For the Word, John says, who was in the beginning with God, who was God, without whom nothing was made, and through whom all things were made, in whom this Word, in whom was life, and the life was the light of men, this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, John actually introduces us to Jesus. And he introduces us in a wonderful way. He introduces us to Jesus as the God that we can see, that we can look upon, the God we can touch with our hands. And seeing and grasping him, we can understand everything that God is about. Jesus actually will say later on in his ministry, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." He's going to tell a doubting Philip, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And then he's going to say to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Do not disbelieve, but believe." The one who hears and sees Jesus hears and sees God as he is. Or as St. Paul says, "In him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily." In Jesus, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily. So the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of Christmas, that in Jesus Christ the whole fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, it actually transforms all of the mysteries of life under an almighty God. The Word at the beginning was the one who made all of creation. The Word is the person who governs it still. That Word was made flesh to dwell with us, to live with us, and we have seen his glory. We've seen who he is in himself. The veil of the tabernacle is gone. The cloud and the darkness that were over the place where God's ark, where God's presence dwelt, is gone. It's all stripped away as we see the glory of God in the person of Jesus. The glory of God laid in a manger. The glory of God hung up on a cross for sinners. The glory of God raised from the dead to say, "Peace be with you." It's not that this takes all the mystery out of God, but what it does is it fits all of the mystery of God into Jesus. And this changes all of the mystery of God from the sort of mystery that we too often worry about. Those things about, you know, like when we think about God, we worry about what's he up to up there, right? With all of his almighty power. It transforms that into the sort of mystery that we marvel at in our faith. Because we know now that God, with all of his almighty power, is always aiming precisely at what Jesus is all about. "For the Word became flesh, and we have seen his glory." And that's a great gift in a small package of swaddling clothes, that gift of faith in him and what he has done for us. Like all the other great gifts in small packages, though, too many times it's overlooked when you see all of the bigger things around it. Of course, God is bigger than the world, we think. And Jesus, of course, he's just this one man, this blip in all of the history of creation. It's obvious, of course, to the whole world, or it should be, that there is a God. I mean, it should be obvious. His divine majesty can be known through the greatness of the things that he's made. Since if something is made, there has to be a maker. If something is created, there has to be a creator. But who is this God, this maker in himself? And how does he feel about you and me? The most important knowledge of God, though, the only kind of knowledge that fosters faith, well, we can't find from nature. We can't find from his creation. We can't find it from the world. As John says, "He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." But you and I know that if we want to see God and we want to know how he feels about us, if we want to know what promises that he's made, and if indeed, and the fact indeed that he will keep them, that we find all of the answers in this one man, where the infinite actually does contain, or the finite actually does contain the infinite. Jesus, the Word made flesh, so completely contains God and contains who God is, that there's nothing to know about God that's not revealed in Jesus. No one has ever seen John, no one has ever seen God, John will say in, later on, but the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Simeon, 8 days after Jesus' birth, will say, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And even doubting Thomas, seeing in Jesus' flesh the wounds of the cross, needed nothing else. All he could do was fall to his knees and say, my Lord and my God. And so we say that God's glory, God's truth, and God's grace are all stuffed entirely into Jesus to be seen and to look, to be looked at and grasped, and most of all, to be believed. The fact of the matter that God is in Jesus puts the infinite actually in the grasp of our finite minds, our minds that can't hold all of the infinite things. The fact that God gives us Jesus helps our struggling faith. Ideas like glory, grace, and truth actually come down to earth and take definite form in this baby, in Jesus. God's glory, grace, and truth slept in a manger. God's glory, grace, and truth hung on a cross. His glory, grace, and truth were hung, were laid in a tomb, and rose from the dead. God's glory, grace, and truth are forever in this man, Jesus, who was laid on the straw for you and me, was nailed up for us, buried low for us, and rose from the dead for us, and even ascended to God's right hand with all power and authority in heaven and on earth to reign for us with infinite power in finite, simple things. What God is up to and how he will do it is no longer complicated because the Word is made flesh and dwells among us. Then in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us, make disciples. Okay, how are we supposed to do that, Jesus? Well, he goes on and tells us how to do it. He says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, baptizing them in my name. Now there's an interesting thing, another case of the infinite being found in the finite. He says, baptizing. Here, take this water with my word, my infinite word, and make a disciple. Make a child of mine. Bring this child into my family. And here's how you do it. Baptize him. Baptize her or him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The infinite, God's grace, mercy, forgiveness, and salvation stuffed into that little child. The infinite bound in the finite. And then in Holy Communion, the infinite body and blood of Christ, he gives to us in simple things like bread and wine, where he says, this is my body given for you. This is the New Testament in my blood shed for you. The body and blood of Christ for you. for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith. And where there is forgiveness of sins, as Luther says, there is life and salvation. The eternal Word becomes flesh and blood. And the eternal Word gives us His flesh and blood in the sacraments. The infinite bound up in the finite. You know, there's only one person that can do this. I know I can't do it. And I don't think you can either. I've lost my place. Even in the midst of all of our sin, the greatest thing that He does for us is forgives us those sins. Even if you were to commit an infinite amount of sins, God is more infinite, if that's the case, if there's a word for it. We can't commit an infinite amount of sins. We are finite beings. And the infinite comes and forgives your sins and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. That's what God does in this baby. The baby who was born to die on Calvary, to be laid in that tomb, to rise again for our salvation. The infinite has become finite for you and for me, so that we can contain the infinite, His infinite grace, His infinite mercy, His infinite peace for us. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, this baby who is born. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And He will be called Mighty Counselor, or Everlasting, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen.